The Ghostlight Theater proudly presents our own original adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Hello, dearest friends, family, and I'm sure some first-time listeners. This is the first full cast production to be showcased in the shadows of this dimly lit stage, here inside the Theater of the Afterlife. So, I wish you a wintry yet warm welcome to friends new and old. Featured in tonight's cast are the voice talents of Scott Wichman as Ebenezer Scrooge, William Cardozo as Bob Cratchit, Darren M. Johnson as Jacob Marley, Tess Kay as Mrs. Cratchit, Catherine Gardner as Martha Cratchit, Charlotte Kulak as Tiny Tim Cratchit, A.J. White as Fred, Zoe Dean as Belle, Amber Faye Armstrong as Fan, Abigail Carter as the Ghost of Christmas Past, Maria Lopresti as the Ghost of Christmas Present, and Dana Noel with a particularly awe-inspiring performance as the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And last, but assuredly far, far, far from least, we have our narrators, Trinity Pearson and Grace Robinson. I will turn over the proverbial reins to them now, and I'll catch up with you all in a bit. Please enjoy the GLT's production of A Christmas Carol in prose, being a ghost story of Christmas, but more commonly referred to as simply
A Christmas Carol.
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, fully dressed. His thoughts were like a whirlwind, and he wandered aloud.
Was it all a dream?
Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them with an unearthly hand. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so childlike, as it was old, and viewed through some supernatural medium. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tender bloom of youth was on the skin. It wore a tunic of the purest white, and round its waist was bound a lustrous belt, the sheen of which was beautiful. It held a branch of fresh green holly in its hand, and in contradiction, its dress was trimmed with summer flowers. But the strangest thing about it was that from the crown of its head there sprung a bright, clear jet of light by which all this was visible, and it held a great extinguisher, like that of a candle snuffer, under its arm.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold me?
I am.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No. Your past.
Spirit, would you mind terribly wearing your cap, the light?
What? Would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give?
No, I am sorry, I meant no offense. What do you want of me? What brings you here?
Your welfare, Ebenezer. Rise and walk with me.
Oh, no, not out of the window, spirit. I'm mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand here upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
At the ghost's gentle touch, they both passed through the wall and flew from the bedchamber at an incredible speed out of the city to an open country road.
Good heavens. I was bred in this place. I was a boy here.
Your lip is trembling. And what is that upon your cheek?
Nothing. Come, conduct me where you will.
Do you recollect the way?
Remember it? I can walk it blindfolded.
Strange to have forgotten it for so many years. Let us go on, for the school is not quite deserted. These are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family and friends, is left there still.
Yes. Yes, I know. I know. Poor boy. I wish I... Ah, but it's too late now.
What is the matter?
Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas. Do you know this place?
Know it? I was an apprentice here.
Yo-ho there, Ebenezer.
Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again and hosting one of his Christmas parties.
No more work tonight. It's Christmas Eve, my boy. Enjoy the ball. To the dance floor, pick your partners. Fiddler, I say fiddler. Strike up Sir Roger de Coverley.
Listen to him. And there's Dick Wilkins, to be sure. Bless me. Yes, there he is. My word. And there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with the light heart and the gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Yes. Yes, merciful heaven. How happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small?
Is it not? He has spent but a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves such praise?
It isn't that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy, a pleasure or a burden. His power lies in words and looks, in things so slight and insignificant that it's impossible to add and count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
What is the matter?
Nothing in particular, Spirit.
Something, I think.
No.
Speak.
Well, I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit. Just now, that's all.
My time grows short. Quick, we have yet another journey to make. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
No. No. No, no, no. Spare me this.
A man in the prime of life. Your face lacks the harsh and rigid lines of later years, but it has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Notice the eager, greedy, restless motion in your eye. The eyes of a miser.
No, please, Spirit.
She knows it too. The girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes.
It matters little to you. Very little. I know that. Another idol has displaced me. And if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, then I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you?
The golden one.
Ah, this is the even-handed dealing of the world. There is nothing on which it is so hard as poverty, and there is nothing it professes to condemn with such a severity as the pursuit of wealth.
You fear the world too much. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until the master passion gain engrosses you.
What then? Even if I have grown wiser, Belle, I have not changed toward you.
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor and content to be so, until, in good season, we could improve our worldly fortune by our patient industry. You are changed. When it was made, you were another man.
I was a boy!
Your own feelings tell you that you were not what you are. I am. Once we were one in heart, now we are two. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it, and I release you.
Have I ever sought release?
In words? No, never.
In what then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. If this had never been between us, tell me, would you seek me out and try to win me now?
You think not.
I would gladly think otherwise if I could. But if you were free today, tomorrow, yesterday, could I even believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? You, who in your very confidence with her wastes everything by gain. I know. And I release you with a full heart for the love of the man you once were.
Belle.
You may have pain in this transaction. A very brief pain. But it will be for a brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it gladly as a half-remembered and unprofitable dream. May you be happy, Ebenezer, in the life that you have chosen.
Enough, spirit. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
No. No more. I don't wish to see it. Show me no more.
Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man might have been you. And the woman beside him, your wife. And that girl? That girl might have been your daughter. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life. Listen now while they speak, Ebenezer.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Oh, who was it?
Take a guess.
How can I? I don't know. Mr. Scrooge.
Ah, Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered. And he had a candle inside, so I couldn't help but seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear. And there he sat. Alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit. Remove me from this place.
I told you. These were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
The spirit's glimmering eyes bore into Scrooge's soul as the light on top of his head blazed brighter than ever. Scrooge seized the extinguisher cap from under its arm and pressed it down upon the apparition's head.
I cannot bear it. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
And though he pressed down with all his force, he could not completely hide the light. All at once, the spirit, the cap in Scrooge's hands, and the vision from the past dissolved, and Scrooge was back inside his bedchambers. He was overcome by an irresistible drowsiness and barely had time to reach the bed before he sank into another heavy sleep.
Scrooge awakened suddenly and sat bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from where the second specter would appear. He sat up in his bed, waiting for quite some time. He gradually became aware of a great blaze of ruddy light, which seemed to shine from the adjoining room. He got up and tentatively shuffled to the door. It was his own sitting room, no doubt about that, but it had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls were decked from the floor to the ceiling in greenery. Bright, gleaming holly berries glistened, and a mighty blaze, the likes of which hadn't been seen in all the time Scrooge had occupied the home, went roaring up the chimney, heaped up on the floor to form a kind of throne where turkeys, geese, poultry, great joints of meat, suckling pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pies, oh, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, the ripest apples, juicy oranges, luscious pears, and foaming bowls of punch. Seated atop this mountainous pile sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch, holding it up high to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Ah! Come in! Come in and know me better, man! I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
The spirit was clothed in a simple green robe bordered with white fur. The garment hung loosely and extended just so to hover above the ground, revealing that the Yuletide figure was barefoot. A holly wreath encircled its head, ornamented with small, shining icicles. Cinched around its middle was an antique scabbard, but no sword within it, and the antique sheath was eaten up with rust. Its dark brown curls hung loosely about its shoulders with sparkling, kind eyes, and a resonant, cheery voice all served to establish the joyful air about the phantom.
You have never seen the likes of me before.
Never.
Have you never walked forth with any of my elder brethren these later years?
I don't believe so. I'm afraid I have not. Have you many siblings, Spirit?
More than 1,800, of which I am the youngest. But I won't be for much longer.
A tremendous family to provide for.
What was that?
Spirit, conduct me where you will. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe, Scrooge.
Where have you brought me, Spirit?
A cathedral. But it is down the modest lane from this church that is our destination. Come, Scrooge.
Is there a particular flavor in what you sprinkle from your torch onto those passers-by?
There is. My own.
Would it apply to any kind of dinner on this day?
Oh, yes. To any kindly given, but to a poor one the most.
Why to a poor one most?
Because it needs it the most.
Spirit, I wonder, why would you deprive these people of their means of dining every seventh day? It is often the only day on which they can be said to dine at all. Forgive me if I am wrong. It has been done in your name, or in, at least in that of your family.
There are some upon this earth of yours, Scrooge, who lay claim to know us. They do their deeds of passion, pride, ill will, hatred, envy, bigotry, and selfishness in our name. Yet they are as strange to us and our kin as if they had never lived at all. Remember that, and charge their doings on themselves, not us. Here we are.
It's humble enough.
Yet there is happiness there. It is the home of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. See his wife, dressed in a twice-turned gown, but embellished in ribbons, laying the table for their Christmas dinner. And there, assisting her, is their daughter Belinda. And the young man with the fork and the stuffing, that's Peter Cratchit, and the two littlest Cratchits. Listen, Scrooge.
Whatever could be keeping your precious father and your brother Tiny Tim? And Martha wasn't this late last Christmas Day.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear. Merry Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas, Mother.
Happy Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Sister.
Happy Christmas, all. Always so lovely to see your faces.
How late you are, Martha, dear.
Oh, we had a deal of work to finish up last night, and then we had to clear it away this morning, Mother.
I'll never mind that now, so long as you're here now. Come, come, sit by the fire and warm yourself. Lord bless your soul.
No, no, Father's coming.
Hide, Martha, hide.
Whoa, 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 watch your head, Tim. Hello, all. Why, Mother, where's our Martha?
Oh, not coming.
Not coming? Not coming on Christmas Day?
Oh, Father, I can't bear to see you so sad.
Oh, my dear Martha. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Martha.
Oh, Tim, you darling. Happy Christmas. I'm so glad to see you both home.
And we're so glad to have you, Martha.
So, Tim, why don't we go see what the others are up to? I believe they're aiding Mother by keeping an eye on the pudding.
Oh, yes. Let's...
How did little Tim behave in church?
As good as gold and better. He gets so full of thought sometimes. He told me, coming home, that he hoped that people saw him in the church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who it was that made lame beggars walk and blind men see. He's growing stronger and heartier every day, I do believe.
Oh, bless our boy. Come, Bob. No tears. It's Christmas Day. Come, everyone, take your places now. I'll fetch the pudding. Stuffing, dressing, and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, take care of Tim.
Of course, Mother.
See that he eats plenty. He must stay strong, grow tall, and well.
Oh, thank you, Mum. I shall eat my fill, and then some.
And now, my dears, shall we say grace?
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here.
What then? If he's going to die, he had better do it.
And decrease the surplus population. Will you decide what men shall live and what men will die, Scrooge? It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now, my dears, a toast. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
And finally, to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
Founder of the feast, indeed. He who pays you all of 15 shillings a week. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feed on. And I hope he'd have an appetite for it.
My dear, the children. Christmas Day?
It should be Christmas Day when one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, cold...
My dear...
Unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge.
My dear...
Oh, you know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you. Poor fellow.
My dear, Christmas Day.
I'll drink to his health for your sake and the day's. But not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say, God bless him too, Mother, and everyone!
That's right, Tim!
The cheerful scene and family faded, and Scrooge had his eye upon them, especially Tiny Tim, until the last... The ghost had transported them to another home, where a dinner party was taking place. Out of the crowd of partygoers, there was a laugh that Scrooge recognized.
Oh, and he said that Christmas was a humbug. Oh, as I live and breathe, he believed it too. Oh, he is a comical old fellow, that is the truth. However, his offenses carry their own punishment. I have nothing to say against him.
He is very rich, though, Fred. At least, you always tell me so.
Oh, and what of that, my dear? His wealth is of no use to him. He does no good with it. He hardly even makes himself comfortable with it. I sat holding my breath expecting. No, do I want him to benefit us with it?
I have no patience with him.
Well, I have. I'm sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him even if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. Here he takes into his own head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. And what's the consequence? He loses out on a dinner.
A very good dinner. But do go on, Fred. Oh, you have such a bad habit of not finishing your thoughts once you've begun.
Yes, well, I was only going to say the consequence of his not making merry with us is, well, as I can think, that he loses some pleasant moments which could do him no harm. And I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not. For I pity him. He may rail at Christmas till he dies, but he can't help thinking better of it. I defy him. Well, who wishes to play a game?
Come, Scrooge.
Wait! Spirit! They're playing yes and no. I used to adore this game as a boy. Let's see, an animal. Oh,
disagreeable one, huh?
Does it live in London, Fred?
No, indeed.
Can you purchase it at a market?
Heavens, I hope not. Oh, no.
Spirit, I know it's a dog. A savage dog.
Well, if it's not a bear, or a cow, or a dog, what a... Oh, an ass? Is that it?
Well, yes and no, love.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what it is.
Oh, yes? What is it?
It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, he has given us plenty of merriment. It would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. To Uncle Scrooge, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man. Whatever he is... he wouldn't take it from me, but may he have it nevertheless. Uncle Scrooge.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Scrooge. It ends tonight. Tonight at midnight.
Our spirits' lives so short.
Hark, the time draws near.
Forgive me if I am unjustified in what I ask, but I see something protruding from under your robe. Is it a foot or a claw?
It might be a claw, for the flesh there is upon it. Look here.
The spirit pulled back a fold of their robe to reveal two children, frightful, hideous, pitiful. They hugged the ghost's great legs tightly, shrinking back from the light. Scrooge turned away in shock and horror.
Oh no, man. Look. Look here, I said. Look. Down here.
Scrooge obeyed reluctantly. The children, a boy and a girl, were ragged, wolfish, their skin yellowed, where purity, youth, and innocence should have filled their features. An inexplicable, stale, tragic harshness twisted and tore them into shreds. In their eyes, there were no angels, only the glare of devils.
Spirit! Are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both, but beware this boy most of all, for upon his brow I see written that which is doomed, lest the writing be erased. Slander all those who tell it.
Have they no refuge? No resource?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Scrooge looked around, and the ghost of Christmas present and the children had vanished. The bell rang out again for the last time. As he raised his eyes, he beheld the third and final spirit, a solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him slowly and silently, like a shadowy mist along the ground. The deep black garment it wore concealed its entire visage, form, and left nothing visible save one skeletal, outstretched hand.
I am in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You will show me shadows of the things that have not happened but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, Spirit? I fear you more than any specter I have seen, but... as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man, I am prepared to bear your company and do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me? Lead on, Spirit. The night is waning fast, and this is precious time to me. Lead on.
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I do believe.
Well, what was the matter with him?
I thought he'd never die.
God knows. What I want to know is, what's he done with his money?
Haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps? He hasn't left it to me, that's all I know.
Certainly not.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral, for upon my life, I don't know anybody who'd go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer.
I don't mind going. If a lunch is provided, I must be fed if I'm going to go.
Come to think of it, I'm not at all sure I wasn't his best friend.
What?
We used to nod to each other whenever we met in the street.
Oh, you. Goodbye.
Oh, good night.
The home of Bob Cratchit.
Mother.
My son.
Mother, please.
Hey, Tiny Tim. I loved him so.
There, there, Mother dear. It's almost time for Father to be home. You mustn't let him see you crying.
Yes. Yes, Martha, you're right. I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father for the world. He walks slower than he used to. And I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
As have I, Mother.
He was light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all. Oh, welcome home, Bob.
Good evening, my dear. I'm sorry I'm late.
Don't mind it, Father. Don't be grieved.
Thank you, my child. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him. I promised Tim that we'd walk there on Sundays.
Father, dear.
It's God's will, Bob.
And I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My little child. How I loved him so.
We love you, Father. It's all right.
Thank you, my loved ones. I know when we recollect how patient and mild little Tim was. We shall not quarrel easily among ourselves, and we shall not forget him in doing so.
Of course not, Father, never.
God bless Tim.
I am happy. Very happy, dear ones.
Spectre of the future, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. I know it, but I know not how. Who is the man that died? A churchyard. Spirit, before I draw nearer to that gravestone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they shadows of things that may be only? Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends to which, if persevered in, they must lead. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me. The name on the gravestone reads, Ebenezer Scrooge. No. Spirit. Oh, no, no. No. Hear me. I am not the man I was. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Good spirit, assure me that I may yet change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Please tell me I may sponge away the writing on these stones. Spirit, I beg you. Spirit, I beg you. I beg, Spirit,
I've returned home.
Oh, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. Hear me, Jacob Marley, I say it on my knees. Oh, Jacob, on my knees, I'm actually here.
I'm as giddy as a drunken man! A Merry Christmas to everybody, and a Happy New Year to all the world! The sun is shining, it's clear, it's bright, no fog, what a glorious day! Hello there, child! I say, you there!
Yes, sir?
What's today?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my friend?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. Why, the spirits have done it all in one night. Of course they can. They can do anything they like. Oh, say, my friend, listen, you know the Poulterers over on the next street?
I should say I do.
An intelligent child, remarkable even. Tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window? Not the little prize turkey, the big one.
What? The one as big as me?
What a delight. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Yes, my buck.
It's hanging there now, sir.
That's wonderful. Go and buy it.
Lily!
No. I am in earnest. Go and buy it and tell them to bring it here that I may give them the direction where to take it. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back within less than 5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown.
Oh, yes, sir.
And a Merry Christmas to you, my child.
Happy Christmas to you as well, sir. I'll be right back.
I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. He shan't know who sent it. Hello, sir? Madam?
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Yes, that is my name, and I fear it may not have been pleasant to you. Allow me to ask your pardon, both of you, and will you have the goodness...
Lord, bless me!
My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?
Indeed. Not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you do me that favor?
My dear sir, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, please. Just come and see me. Will you both come and see me?
We will. We will indeed. Thank you, Ebenezer.
My word. Fan, it is you. It was you. You're quite a woman, little Fan. Bless you. Thank you. I shall honor you and your memory for as long as I shall live. I promise. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, all.
That night, Scrooge made his way to the home of his nephew, Fred, and humbly asked if he might come to dinner, so long as Fred would allow him, to which he enthusiastically approved on the spot. The entire party happily welcomed Scrooge in, even Fred's wife. The next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason, if he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing he'd set his heart upon.
And he did it. Yes, he did. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. At last he came. His hat was off before he even opened the door, his overcoat too. He was on his stool in less than a heartbeat, driving away with his pen, as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir?
Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
I am very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are? Yes, I think you are.
It's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll not stand with this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit... therefore... I'm about to raise your salary!
Mr. Scrooge? Are you quite yourself, sir?
Why, no, as a matter of fact, no, thank heaven, I am not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my fine fellow. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I shall raise your salary, and I'll endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking Bishop Bob. Make up the fires. I'll buy another bundle of coal before you dot another eye, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him.
He had no further interaction with spirits. Regardless, it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Well, hello. We meet again. Well, folks, I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the cast when I say we sincerely hope you've enjoyed this special holiday production. May your holidays be bright, may your food be sumptuous, and may your heart be light. That way, you can keep the light on for us. Merry Christmas, and happy holidays, my dear friends.
God bless us, everyone!